Hi, everybody. This is Donna Fox live tonight. It is September 9th, 2012, 9-9. And so I just want to say hello to everyone. Last week was a sad week for me. I lost my very dear sister-in-law, but what we're going to, and so I want to send blessings out to Peggy Fox's family. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later, not from a grief point of view, but from a vision point of view when I found out she had passed. There's a little story there. Also, I want to talk about a situation that happened with a listener. Last week was a recorded show, and the week before was a recorded show. I was on the road coming from an Akashic Record conference. But the show was very meaningful to a listener, and we're going to be answering her questions as well. And so for those of you people who have not listened to the Akashic Wisdom before, Akashic Wisdom is a show about the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. The difference is we're not talking about past lives. We're not talking about anything but what's going on in the here and now. So what I want you to understand is that this is a call-in talk show. You can definitely call in and ask your questions. And I encourage that. So if you've just been listening to Brooks, and you'd like to call in a question about the Akashic Records or what they are or how they can help you, you can certainly go and do that. I'm sure you have the numbers, but in case you don't, the telephone numbers to call in are toll-free if you live here in the United States or in Canada. That toll-free number is 888-429-5471. And you can also dial in direct. Our country code is 011-530-513-6472. But I want to get back to the subject at hand, and just so that you understand too, I've been working with the Akashic Records for over 16 years. I do individual consultations and classes. But what's most unique about the Akashic Record energy is that when you ask a question, you have to look at the Akashic Record energy like a divine Google. And when you ask your question creates a vibration, because everything on this planet is vibration and frequency. And so your current legal name and the vibration of your question, the words and of the question create the vibration, as well as the intention of the question, create a vibration. That gets us to the right area of the records, and then the information comes forward. And this is, I want to, again, this is said with deepest love, this is not pie in the sky. This is not woo-woo stuff. I know that it sounds a little bit strange to say that words create an energy and it shifts the energy to make the information accessible. However, if you listen to BBS radio, you probably get that without a problem, and it doesn't sound weird to you. What's important to understand is that we all have an agenda and a purpose. And what's interesting also is before the show I was doing some reading and meditating, and we've got 2012. You know, November's coming up in 60 days, and so in 90 days. We're going to be really looking at that December date. And when you put it into the area of days, 90 days, that's not a lot of time. And there's a lot of people who are moving into fear. And I just so want to assure you that this is not about fear. There are many, many messages out there about what's going to happen in 2012. And there's, you know, many scientists are sharing various earth changes that may or may not happen. And I just want you to know, okay, you need to truly, truly understand that your future is moving forward based on what you want to create. Now, there are people who have capitalized on the fear of the end of times. And I want you to, when I was moving through my own meditations and having my records open and asking various questions, one of the things that came forward is a very interesting, it's like a symbol, I don't want to call it a symbol, I've got to get the right word, analogy. It's a very interesting analogy. The analogy that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records gave me is that life on planet Earth is like the program The Great Escape on TV, the reality show. Now, if you haven't seen it, people, yeah, there's three teams. They compete. They get a map. They're blindfolded. They're taken to a new space that they have to use the map, and they have to go through various obstacles, and they have to gather the clues and put together the puzzle at the end. And the first one to do that wins $100,000. Now, so. And we're asking these questions, I'm asking the masters, teachers, and loved ones to expound on that. Tell us a little bit more about what does that mean. And so, what their comment back to me was that the Great Escape, the same way you are given a map, it's your soul's journey, okay? Your soul's journey. You get a set of clues. You also get setbacks. And you also have guardians watching. Now, in the show, the guards, if they are caught, each couple has to go back to the beginning. But in this particular case, when we're talking about life on planet Earth, we're talking about having our guardians help us. And that sometimes our choices of actions bring us back to square one. But all along the way, we are picking up pieces of the puzzle that will truly bring us home. And when the comment is of bringing us home, what's important for us to understand is they're talking about bringing us home from a point of view of coming home inside of ourselves. And it's coming home inside of ourselves that's so important in today's world. So we want to talk about what is your definition of coming home to you. You know, we've made choices in our lives that seem to put everything outside of ourselves rather than working with what is inside of ourselves. And so the question here is, what is within you that you would like to work with that helps you understand a better focus or a better idea of what you truly want to create? So what is inside of yourself that really ignites you to a place of joy? So I want you to just think about that for a moment, because we have to look at what brings us joy in many, many a way, okay? And the way we also want to look at these days is from a place of love. So So the questions that were brought forward was, I'm just going to have a, I'm going to read the actual question because it's back from August 26th, because we, but it's very relevant for today, and I think it expresses a lot of what you folks are thinking and feeling. So the other thing is if you have any questions in between time, feel free to call in. If you want to email me questions, you certainly can do that. I'm sitting at my computer. The email address is info@akashicwisdom.com, same name as the show. So this is from Debbie, and she says, "Dear Donna, I just love your show and really look forward to listening to you every Sunday. I also enjoy listening to the archives. Thank you. I was wondering if you could share your insight on a few questions I have after discussing, I guess, whatever the topic was from that night. It is my understanding that ascension is a choice, and if one chooses to do so, they will, but how do we know if we're ready or if we have to remain here to complete unfinished lessons? Is it possible that even if we do make the choice to ascend, we won't be able to? I don't want to learn at the last minute that there's a problem." That's very human of you. She also says, "I know our pets will ascend with us, but I was also wondering what happens to our things. I have collected so many beautiful antiques, arts, quilts, books, and keepsakes over the years that I really love and find myself feeling very sad about not knowing what will happen. How can I learn to let go of everything that is no longer serving my purpose?" These are wonderful questions. I'm going to take them one by one, but I want to read them all to you. I would also like to know your thoughts on how best to use the little time that is left before December 21st. Up until just recently, I've been planning on putting a new roof on the house and renovating my kitchen, but now I feel like there's no reason to do any of that. Should I concentrate on donating and giving away as much as possible, or should I just concentrate on my spirituality and preparing for ascension? I'm also having a very difficult time dealing with how fast time is moving. I know that you folks have got to feel it. It's like all of a sudden, I can't even imagine. I've been, you know, it's like I've been back, you know, from Boston from the funeral 4 or 5 days, and it just seemed like I just got home. Things just fly by. I understand. Well, it seems like it's going faster every day, as I'm sure you folks all remember, all feel the same way. Sometimes my day feels like it's only 2 or 3 hours. Do you have any suggestions on how to deal with the quickening of time? I realize I'm asking a lot, and if you're unable to get to me, I understand perfectly. And thank you again for taking time to do this show for us. You are so loved and appreciated for sharing your wisdom with us. God bless you, Debbie. Okay, so let's start with, that's a lot of information and a lot of questions here, which is wonderful because your questions bring forth an energy of connection that helps us go deeper into the energy of the Akashic Records. So the more questions you have, either from a call-in point of view or from an email point of view, is great. So let's start with the first one. So the first question is, it is my understanding that ascension is a choice, and if one chooses to do so, they will. But how do we know if we are ready or if we have to remain here to complete unfinished lessons? And then the other one is it possible that even if we do make the choice to ascend, we won't be able to? And she doesn't want to, like, find this out. She wants to get everything done. So a very, very organized lady, evidently. No. So here's what's coming forward now. Now Donna's going to stop talking, and I'm now going to bring forth information from the records. If you were sitting in front of me, you would see that my eyes are wide open. I'm in full personality. This is not like my voice is going to change or anything takes over my body. But these questions are now going to be answered from the masters, teachers, and loved ones, and I am going to repeat what I hear, okay? And I'm going to tell you exactly what I see, feel, and or see and hear sometimes feel. Okay. So first of all, it's really important that we understand what ascension is. Ascension is the expansion of consciousness. Ascension is the expansion of awareness. Ascension is the expansion of beingness. Now, there are some people who will choose to leave the planet in order to expand their consciousness even further. There are others who will choose to stay on the planet and expand their consciousness in human form. Many people who choose to stay in body will ride the waves, if you will, or the fence of being partially here on the planet and partially out of the planet. This is not necessarily to mean that you won't be grounded when you're here. It just means that your awareness will be such and will be so expanded that you'll actually be able to be consciously aware of being in two places at one time, and it will not create conflict. That's very important for you to understand. Because, and it sounds like it might be disconcerting, or you have to choose which one to give your attention to, and that is not the way it is. It's the expansion of your consciousness so much, it's as if your peripheral vision will be expanded to a 360-degree level so that you'll be able to see easily 360 degrees around your head. So it's that kind of awareness that is coming to us. Now, there are going to be some humans that will choose to go on with business as usual and will not acknowledge any kind of shift. But those who choose to be aware and to expand their consciousness will understand 1,000% of how to make this earth a better place. Now, what Debbie hasn't asked but many people have talked about, is there another earth that we are ascending to? Yes, for those people, there is another planet like Earth, has the same qualities or properties, and those people who want to physically ascend to that earth will do so. But again, remember that we are in control. Never, ever does spirit interfere with our free will choice. They can't make us ascend. We cannot be made to move to the new planet Earth. We are who we are, and it is our choice whether or not we're going to move forward. At the same time, there are various qualifiers that will assist us in moving forward should we choose to expand our consciousness to move to the new planet Earth. And those qualifiers will be given at the time the choice is made. And the reason they're saying this, is what I'm hearing, is because everyone's qualifiers are going to be a little different. Some it will be more around loving themselves. Others will have the qualifier of moving into 100% total forgiveness of self and others. Others will have the challenge of eliminating any fear or doubt and move into a full faith lifestyle. Now, all of this, again, and some people will have all of the above. It depends on where you're at on the levels, on the spectrum. Nothing is bad or good, right or wrong. It just is. And the more we can move into accepting that, the better off we're going to be. Now, what I'm hearing is I actually answered more questions that were in the audience with what they just said. I want to move forward around about pets. Pets meet you where you are. Pets will either stay with you because they can continue to help you or support you, or they will choose to move into spirit where they can help you more, or there is a greater calling. So for those of you who may be losing pets, you need to understand that no one, and we've said this before, no one or no living thing leaves this planet or leaves the consciousness, leaves the physicality of this planet without being complete. And as soon as you are complete and your soul feels complete, that it's accomplished what it needed to accomplish, literally you'll be a flash of light and you'll go home. Now, do some people or some spirits stay around? Yes, of course. Those are the spirits that the mediums read. But know that no one leaves the planet who is not complete. So the same thing with animals. Okay. The other thing is, it's very interesting that Debbie talks about the things that she's collected and that she finds herself sad about not knowing what will happen. And how can I learn to let go of everything that is no longer serving my purpose? That's part of the ascension qualifications, if you will, criteria. So it's the idea of literally moving into a feeling of non-attachment. So it's important that you not, anybody who's also feeling that, this is not about feeling guilty because you want to keep things. It's about noticing what do those things hold and what is the qualities that you are unwilling to give up. Those pieces that you have, if you're unwilling to give or sell them or donate, you need to become very clear about what your attachment is. And until you can become clear about what your attachment is, it's going to be impossible for you to feel or to move into not feeling or move into the detachment of it. So this is not supposed to be analytical so much as asking your inner being and your higher self, what is the truth? What is the truth around me wanting to keep certain pieces or certain collectibles? Why do I want them? Am I afraid that I will lose money if I let them go? Am I afraid that they won't be taken care of? what is the issue? So it's really about understanding that and asking yourself, and then journaling the answer. Okay. Now, there is a question here that Debbie asked. It's about planning to have a new roof on the house and renovating your kitchen. That piece, the decision there is, will that bring you joy? Will that bring you joy? Is that something that, especially a roof, needs to be done before the winter shows up? Because let's take a look at the total piece here. If, in fact, your roof needs to be completed and you don't do it before the winter, then if you're still around, you're going to want to have a warm home. If you're not still around, you're going to want to leave a home that will be warm for someone else. And as far as renovating your kitchen is concerned, well, you don't have to make a decision about that right away, unless it would bring you more joy to do so. This is not about, oh, I have only up until December 21st and I'm going to die or I'm going to leave the planet. That may not be the case at all. You may still be in physicality. And then the other piece is, should I concentrate on donating, giving away as much as possible, or should I just concentrate on my spirituality and preparing for ascension? First of all, you have to, like what we said before, get very clear about what you're willing to release and what you're not willing to release. Get clear about why. And clearly it's important to work on your spirituality. And when you work on your own personal spirituality, you will automatically be preparing for ascension. But the ascension may not be floating up to heaven. It may be staying on the planet with an expanded consciousness. So it's really about more about being willing to live in faith, knowing everything is in divine order. We can't know what happens tomorrow. No matter how much you might think you know, the reality is it's all probability. Nothing is carved in stone yet. Each minute creates a new choice that creates a new outcome, that creates a new choice that creates a new outcome, that creates a new choice that creates a new outcome. And it literally goes second by second. So the true reality of what's going to happen on December 1st, 2012, has not been decided yet. Now, moving into more love, that's very important. Moving into more compassion, more faith, and I'm not talking about faith in from a religious point of view. I'm talking about faith that all is in divine order. That allowing yourself to move into one step at a time toward what you truly want. It's also essential, as we said earlier, that you not allow yourself to move into fear. There are so many people who have capitalized on the doomsday effect and the fear and the cataclysmic situations and save this food and save that food and get ready for this and get ready for that. I am that, but it's really, everything needs to be in moderation. It's clear that just for the mere fact of who we are as a planet, it's important to have a few days of water, of food, a generator, if you can, in your home. Why? Because everything runs on electricity. Because people go crazy if they're out of electric for a day or two. because water will sustain you. The reality is there's certain things that are important to have because they're important to have. Because you never know when the electricity's going to go out. You never know when a grid's going to be smashed. I mean, it happened in India. It can happen anywhere. And this is not doomsday prophecy. This is about responsibility and your own survival. Because we have, as a planet, have begun to rely so deeply and completely on cell phones, on computers, on electricity, as I said before. And for those people who don't have a physical landline, I'm not talking about the U-verse or the cable telephones. Those are not landlines. Those are run on electricity. And even though they have a generator, that generator only lasts so long. Communication, if there's people that you're going to want to communicate with, as long as they have a landline too, would be important. Please do not panic with this information. This is about you taking responsibility for having what you need at the time that you need it. Let's get back to Debbie's questions. Okay. So it's about time moving fast. Wow. Fast moving time. Suggestions on how to deal with the quickening of time. First of all, again, this is not about resisting anything. This is about moving into the energy of it. You know, martial arts teaches you to move into the energy and allow your opponent, if you will, by moving into that energy, you have more strength to move back or to move forward or to do whatever it is that you want to do. What's important here is to move in to the energy of the movement. And the way you plan for that is by, instead of filling your calendar up with a massive to-do list, you start paring down your to-do list to what brings you joy. The idea of time moving faster can also be altered, by the way. I don't know how this works, but I will tell you my experience. My experience is that when I use the Ho'oponopono prayer, things slow down for me. Time slows down. Life slows down. Feelings and emotions slow down. And I can move into a comfortable flow. And the Ho'oponopono prayer, and I'll say that slow, Ho, H-O, O, Po, P-O, N-O, P-O-N-O, Ho, O, Po, No, Po, No. And the four statements, again, are, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And the questions that I get asked about this is, do I say this for somebody else? Do I say it meaning somebody else? Do I say it, like in relationship to somebody else? And the answer to that is all no. You say it to yourself, for yourself. because everything in your life, according to the Hawaiian Huna, has been created by you, good, bad, and otherwise. And I happen to ascribe to that. But when I actually take a deep breath, slow myself down, and take a deep breath and put my hand over my heart, even if I'm driving, I can symbolically put my hand over my heart too and say, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And you can continue to say that until you calm yourself down. And then it's about having full faith that all will be in divine order. And I'm going to tell you a story about that. So I'm on my way to the airport. The plan was, this is last Friday, the Friday the 31st of August. The plan was that my sister-in-law was dying, and I had talked to her in July, early July, when I made my plane reservations to come and see her, because I live in Akron and she lives in Boston. And I said, Peg, I want to see you. I want to spend some time with you. And she knew what her condition was. I said, just wait until I get there, okay? Just hold on till I get there. I'll be there Labor Day weekend, okay? And she said, okay. And I was in the car with my son, Brian. We were on our way. I had gotten in Friday night. This was Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, actually, early Saturday afternoon. And we had picked up some medicine that she needed for her. And we were on our way. I was on my way to see her, and my her daughter-in-law, my niece-in-law, calls and said, did you go to the pharmacy already? And we said, yep. And she said, well, we don't need it anymore. I was 15 minutes away from being with her before she passed, before she crossed over. I was deeply saddened by that. But yet I knew there was a reason and purpose, and I knew that me physically being with her obviously was less important than my presence there. And so my son and I had a moment together, you know, where you cry and, you know, and again, you're driving, so it's hard. And my mind wandered away from the subject. I happened to look out the window, look at the traffic, and I just looked forward, and immediately a vision came in front of my face where I saw my sister-in-law, her husband, my brother-in-law, my husband, my first husband, her husband's brother. So I saw Peggy, I saw her husband, Louie, I saw my first husband, Saul, and I saw my second husband, Ruby, stop by. And again, her sister and brother were kind of in the background, but it was very much like a Star Wars moment, if you know what I mean. But I saw them as clear and as three dimensional as I would look at my hand, and I knew that she was okay because she was with those that she loved. And here's what's important. So later on, once we got there, as some of you may know, I'm Jewish, and the Jewish tradition is to bury as fast as possible. The problem that we had is, or the challenge that we had is, number one, she passed away on a Saturday, so it was impossible for the funeral home to come and pick up her. Because it was the Sabbath, and they wouldn't drive on the Sabbath, and they could not do work on the Sabbath. And also Jewish tradition is that once somebody passes, they should never be alone, that their soul and their body should never be left alone. And so it was our job, myself, my son, my my niece-in-law, my nephew, her father, her mother, we were all taking turns sitting with Peggy's body. Now, yes, she was closed. It was her. You know, it was covered, so she had her privacy in her own space. But what's important is that that time is so sacred that you can actually communicate with that wonderful being, because she had not left yet. I mean, her body did not have her soul. Her spirit was free, but it was still there at the house. It was still around the people waiting with her. She gave me wonderful messages. Like, again, you've probably heard me say this before, but I heard it again as a confirmation of, I'm only a thought away. I won't leave until I know everyone is ready to release me. And that meant her children and her grandchildren. Now, her son was traveling in Africa, and her daughter was in the United Kingdom, and they had to come in for the funeral. Now, yes, everyone knew that she had fourth-stage renal cancer. But no one expected her to pass at this time. They expected her to stay for a month or two more. But she was ready to go. She had a higher calling, higher than waiting for me. And when I asked, I was coming to help you heal. Why didn't you wait for me? And she said, it's not about healing me. It's my time. I'm ready. I want to go. I want to be free. You're here to help heal the family. And that I did. With honor. I gave part of the eulogy and talked about her and her loveliness and her caring and giving. And Peggy was known as a smiling lady, and she, in the 40-some years that I knew her, never said a cross or a derogatory word about anyone. I wish I could be that good. She was just that loving. And so the message we carry and we're carrying now in our hearts, and I invite you to carry with us, is that if we can just emulate and carry so much love in our heart that we step out of judgment into compassion, into forgiveness, that is going to be an important way for us, if you choose, to prepare for ascension. If you don't choose to ascend and you want to stay on the planet and expand your consciousness, this is also the formula for a happy life, for a life that brings forward contentment, to keep the love, the non-judgment, the unconditional love, the trust that whatever is happening to you is happening for a reason, and to step back and ask, what am I learning here? What am I learning here? And so that's what we want to bring about. We say, bon voyage to wonderful Peggy Fox, Peggy Ann Fox, past with her family around her on September 1st, 2012. She will be missed, but we are so happy that she's no longer in pain. So that was my story, and last week when they did a recorded show, it's because I was with family, and we were in the midst of being together and remembering Peggy. So I encourage you all to remember your Peggy spirit within you. So if you'd like to call in and make a comment or talk about anything, whatever is bothering you, if you'd like some information from the Akashic Records, I can bring forth an answer for you. If you'd like to share a comment or an opinion or, again, an experience or anything that you feel would comfort you to express, you've got the platform. You can call in. It's 888-429-5471. You can also dial in if you want to use the direct landline here. It's 530-513-6472. Or you can email your questions to info, I-N-F as in Frank, O, at Akashic Wisdom, just like the show, akashicwisdom.com. So, my friend, what's your week been? What's happening with your heart? How's your money situation? How's your love life? What question have you always wanted to ask but didn't know who to ask about how the universe works? Do you have a pet that is in need of some help, either behavior or better understanding of why the pet is with you, or a health issue around yourself or the pet? What would you like to know? It's 11:45 here in Akron, Ohio. You got 5 minutes to call in. And, you know, it's funny, Debbie also emailed, one of the reasons people don't call in is because they like to hear what I have to say. Well, now I'm complete. The master's teachers and loved ones are now complete. And here we have a caller. That's great. Hello, caller.
Hi, Donna. It's me, Bob, from Colorado.
I'm sorry. Hello, Bob?
Yeah, from Colorado.
Can you speak a little louder because I can't hardly hear you.
Let me see if this...
If you're on a headset, could you take it off?
No, I wasn't on a headset. I had the phone on low. Can you hear me now?
Better. Much better.
Okay,
much
great.
Much better. So how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you now?
I'm good.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
I didn't know about your situation until you had mentioned it on the air. But I wanted to give an update because the last time I called in a few weeks ago, you told me about the encounter I had in the park with those geese who happened to be ETs, you said?
Okay.
Do you remember?
Remember? I don't remember what I tell people.
Okay. I know. That's why
okay.
I figured I'd... But that is what the Akashic Record said with the master's teachers and loved ones.
Okay.
And that evening, I was kind of keyed up about that. And the very next day, I went to take my walk, and about a mile away from the park, I heard some geese go over my head. And as I got there, there were two in the middle of the park. And that wasn't typical. So I stopped, and I was going to do my solar gazing, but there were clouds. And I just stopped, and there was like an encounter between me and two geese. And I was wondering if the masters could give a little bit of insight as far as what that was.
And so talk to me about what the encounter was. Did they come after? I'm seeing them fly toward you.
They flew over my head.
Yeah.
And then when I went to the park, there were two in the middle of the park.
But did they come to you or did they fly?
They they were there and they walked to me and the male kind of like stuck
his
neck out. No, he didn't charge me. He just stuck his neck out towards
that's
me.
That's charging.
And I stopped. So it,
there was like when he sticks his neck out, he wanted to protect what was his. For whatever reason,
so,
he saw it was a. What I'm hearing is there was something going on within the energy that he felt he had to become protective.
Okay.
So you're wanting to understand what were those ETs?
Well, the last time I was telling you an account that I had about a year before.
Right.
Where there was a flock of geese that was like 100 of them in the park.
Uh-huh.
And you had said that they were ETs.
Right.
In the form of geese.
Okay.
So just a few hours later, I was taking my walk, and there was two right in the middle of the park. And I stopped, and the male just looked at me, and it didn't seem threatening.
Hmm.
But these were not then. These were not ETs.
I'm not getting they were ETs. They were just geese.
Okay. That's
they were just geese.
All
That's it.
It was just a strange encounter then. All right. But did they tell you about what they had mentioned the last time I called in?
Did who tell me?
The Master's Teachers and Loved Ones about the previous one, the previous encounter.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, I'd asked last time about an encounter I had in the park with the entire flock of geese of over 100.
Yeah.
And there was something odd that happened, and I asked you about it, and you were the one who had told me that they were actually not geese. They were ETs.
Right, but you're asking me, is there anything more information than that?
No, no. I just wanted to know if they had explained to you what I was saying originally.
Yeah, but that's not relevant right now because you got your information.
Correct. I had another just a little strange thing that happened over at a friend's house over the holiday weekend.
Okay, I just wanted to ask you, hold on for 1 second. Is there somebody else on the line waiting for a call? Because I heard a beep before. So, okay. So just tell them to hold because I'll be done. In a second. Okay, thank you. All right, great. The reason I said that, Bob, is there's somebody else that's waiting for... I heard the beep from my producer, so there's someone else waiting for a question. So let's go ahead and answer this one for you, and because I want to get to the other person, okay?
Sure, yeah, this is just real brief. There was something that happened over my friend's house where it wasn't just me that had noticed it. It was also my friend. It was where the lighting became unusual. And it was at night, and it almost looked like it was a strobing. Was there anything that was happening there, or was it just some sort of natural phenomena?
What I'm hearing is there was a low cloud cover. Is that correct?
I guess there would have been. It was dark out, though, so I wouldn't know.
Right. Well, what I'm hearing is it was a low cloud cover, it was a combination of a weather condition of lightning, as well as a cover for other ships. In other words, here's what's important for all of us to know: the ships are around us all the time.
Okay.
And the ships use clouds as camouflage. And that sometimes when they want to be seen, they want the attention, or they want to shift the energy from whatever. And again, I'm not getting anything else about what needed to be shifted, but the lights will shift that way. Okay.
So
it's really important. And there are times also what I'm hearing is that there'll be more than one ship at a time. And again, especially on really low cloud covered days, because they can bring in and shift energy. There's a lot. We have a lot of of assistance right now, both from spirit and from extraterrestrials that are supporting us. There's a lot of energies that need to be shifted, not in a bad way so much as in a supportive way. Again, no matter whether it's spirit or ET, whatever, no one can take our own free will away from us. But there is support around us for our own choices. So when experiences like this happen, Bob, and you're not sure about them, you need to hold your heart and ask, what do I need to know about this?
I was trying to stay in the moment, but my buddy's wife kind of made fun of me.
Well, that's because you did it so obvious. Don't be so obvious about it. All you have to do is just mentally ask, what do I need to know about this?
I see what you're saying.
Huh?
I understand now.
Yeah.
Okay,
don't be obvious at all. It's none of anybody else's business what you're getting. Again, the more private you are, the more information you're going to get. Say again?
It wasn't just me. It was my buddy who actually noticed it, too.
No, no, I'm not saying that. Hear me, and I want to take this as a call, but hear what I'm saying. If you're with other people and somebody's trying to talk to you when you're trying to get some information, just tell them, I just need to be quiet for a minute. You don't have to say, I need to be quiet to get a message. I want to find out. Just give me a minute. I'll answer your question. Just a second. I just need to be quiet for a minute.
Okay.
And then mentally ask the question, what do I need to know about this?
That's
and
great.
Can I come back to this feeling to learn what I needed to know?
Okay,
because
great.
We don't have to be out there to get information. In fact, we want to be inside, not outside. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Within ourselves, not outside of ourselves.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
All right, thanks so much. I so appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for calling in, and keep calling, but again, continue your own work within you to ask, what do you need to know, okay?
That's great advice. Thank you very much, Donna.
You're welcome. Have a great evening.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so I have another caller. I know it's almost time for the show to end, but I still want to talk to whoever's on the line. Are you still there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, yes.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi, this is Claire.
Hi, Claire. Where are you calling from?
From basically Santa Rosa, California.
Okay, beautiful place, beautiful place. How can we help you tonight?
First, I'd like to say thank you for sharing about your family and about Piggy. That was very, very touching, and it's a very human and wonderful thing to share, and thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
And
you're quite welcome.
I'll do a quick question. Recently the place that I was renting was sold, and so I'm temporarily living with my son. It's not creating problems. But I have a problem finding a new place here because I have a cat who's beloved, and also it's gotten very pricey around here. I'm on a fixed income. So I was thinking maybe I should go down and look in Ecuador. Because there's a town called Vilcabamba there, and it has good vibes. At any rate,
and you've been there before?
No, and I was going to go there the last 2 weeks of August and the first 2 weeks of September. I don't speak Spanish, but I have some Spanish smattering, and I thought, you know, I'll just pick it up. I'll learn it. I'll make myself learn it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I got this tremendous back problem, and I've had backaches before, but they go away in a week or two. And this one stayed a month. I finally went to a chiropractor just this past week. That's all neither here nor there. And then of course we got this Ecuador problem with Julian Assange and all this other stuff. And who ever heard of Ecuador before now? So I'm thinking maybe am I putting blocks in my way? Shouldn't go to Ecuador and check it out? What do you think?
First of all, it has nothing to do with you putting blocks in your way, Claire. It has more to do with you having to be near your son.
Yeah.
Okay.
That I believe.
What I'm hearing is that it's absolutely essential that you find a place of your own, that you can find even a roommate situation with a large home that you could share with, that somebody would share with you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. I mean, even though you'd prefer to have your own place, but that you can find a place. What I'm hearing is a perfect place will show up that you can share that will love your cat. Okay. And that it's more important for you to be within close proximity, and they're talking about within 20 minutes, okay,
yeah,
or a half an hour of your son.
I
and
see.
That by looking, here's what they're showing. They're showing me that you take a map,
mm-hmm,
and you put the top, you know, make a little dot where he lives,
mm-hmm,
and you go out 30 miles.
Okay.
And you make a circle.
Right.
And anything that's within that parameter is where you may want to look.
Okay.
And again, it's rare that the masters, teachers, and loved ones will tell you what to do. But they're suggesting you experiment with this and allow the universe to bring to you what you need.
Fabulous.
Knowing with full faith that all is in divine order.
So it is.
Does that help?
Wow, I'm really glad I called you.
Yeah, but I mean, now I'm going to take you one step further. Does what was just said to you feel like truth to you in your body?
Absolutely.
Okay. See, that's the key. The key is no matter who tells you what, even if it's yourself or your guides, it's worthless unless you can feel that alignment and you can feel the strength of the truth in your body. And that's what they're saying is what you need to start going for. But up to this point, you really have tried to be in your heart and you're a very spiritual lady, but your head keeps pulling you out and you keep going to your head.
Yep.
And they're suggesting that you caress your head when that happens and say, you're just going to have to wait. Got to go to the heart and put your hand over your heart. Because it's not about logic. It's about all of us beginning to move through our lives via our heart rather than our head.
Okay, well then I'll be able to find this place I can live through the heart. Great.
Yeah, and the idea here is that start looking without expectations. I'm hearing you're not being rushed out of there.
No, not at all.
Okay. At the same time, you need your private space because that's what you need, and eventually your son's going to need the same. It's not that you cannot wear your welcome. It's just the idea is there comes a time where you need to have your own space. You know.
Right.
And I'm also hearing it has to do with an independence thing. That it's really about you standing on your own two feet again. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think of
myself as independent.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got that. But what I'm hearing is when your place was sold out from underneath you,
mm-hmm,
it made you feel dependent because it made you fearful because you had no place to go.
Absolutely, that's true.
Okay. So what they're saying is that finding your own place will pull you back into your beingness, your independence.
I see.
That's what they're saying. Okay, because
yes,
right now, you really do need to know that you have many choices. They just haven't been presented. They just haven't presented themselves yet. What are you doing with your teaching?
What do I do with my teaching?
Yeah, I'm hearing that you're a teacher.
Oh,
what are you
yeah,
a teacher about? You're breaking up on me, dear.
It's more my soul level. I'm a teacher. I'm just one of those people that came in as a teacher, have a school certification type of thing.
You're breaking up on me. Claire, I'm saying it's not about teaching school.
Oh, okay.
No, this is... Their question to you is, what are you doing about your teaching? So what is it you have gathered? What information have you gathered in your life that needs to be taught?
Oh my God. Wow.
Oh, you do know what they're talking about, eh?
Yeah, I guess. Wow. I can't even think about how to do that. Just sort of a vacuum.
Well, allow yourself to come up with ideas and don't worry about whether they make sense or not.
Well,
do some mind mapping, brainstorming with yourself.
Okay.
And just move into joyful ideas.
Teaching.
That make sense to you?
Yeah.
In other words, it doesn't have to be real. It can be play. And from the play may come something real.
Play with it. Okay.
Yeah. But there's things that you know that need to be taught. And I don't know if that's writing something or journaling or a blog or a lecture or a ebook or just a one-on-one share. I don't know. They're not being at all specific. But it could be all of the above. They're just suggesting that you have a lot of wisdom within you that needs to be shared.
Well, sounds like fun.
Yeah. And that's what it should be. Fun. If it's a labor, it's like, you know how they say labor of love? Anything, if labor has a negative connotation to it, then ixnay that.
Mm-hmm.
Only joy.
Mm-hmm.
Only fun. Only stuff that feels good.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah, well, thank God I'll get it right.
No.
I have no
don't
idea what
right.
I mean
get
to
it happen
at this point.
It's not about right. It's never about right. It's only about happy and joyful and what feels good.
Oh.
It's not about, because it's the right creates judgment. There is no judgment and joy. You either feel
mm-hmm.
it or you don't, period, end of sentence, done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Either feels good, happy, you know, it's not like, am I happy? You know, it's not like that. So the idea mm-hmm. is we either feel good about what we're doing or we don't. And so that's what they're asking you to consider adopting that kind of an attitude when not only when you go and maybe you journal or do whatever it is with your teaching, I don't know what that means, but also when you're looking at a place to live. Does it feel good? Does it feel joyful? Does talking with the landlord or the other person, is that easy? If there's any obstacles, if anything feels uncomfortable, don't do it. Don't say, "Oh, it must be me. Something's wrong." I don't have to. I'm not going to worry about it. That must be me. No. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Okay. Yes. Very helpful.
Have you listened to the program before?
No. As a matter of fact, I try and listen to Brooks Agnew's program, and I've been bad in that I just remember his program in the last 10 minutes of it the last few times. So I turned it on to hear him say, "Well, goodbye." And I thought, okay. And then when I have something on I can listen to on my computer, I put the solitaire program up, and I listen while I play solitaire. So I had just put this solitaire program up, so I thought, well, I'll just keep going here, you know, instead of switching back to turn it off, and then I started listening to your show.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I am, too.
No accidents, right?
No.
Well, keep in touch, Claire. Would love to hear how things work out for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
and thank you to all those
glad you listened, and I hope you
record.
Listen again. I'm sorry?
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. You have a good evening. Night-night. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our show. We thank so much for our callers, Bob and Claire. We thank Peggy Ann Fox for her life. And the peacefulness and the wisdom of her passing. And we know that she will always be with us in her loving spirit. And with you, folks, I hope you have a miracle-filled week. Next weekend, on Sunday evening, it's the Erev of Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the new year for Jews all over the world. And it begins the 10 days of awe. And during Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is when true soul-searching is recommended. And what's interesting about the concept of all of this is that if there's anything that we've done in our life that has hurt anyone, first, before we can ask forgiveness of God, we have to ask the forgiveness of the human. So I think that's a wonderful way to live your life. So with that, I wish you all a miracle-filled week. I will be here next week live. As long as I'm alive, I'll be here. And it is now 12:08, time to say goodnight. And thanks again for listening. If you'd like to contact me personally, I'm at 216-691-1233 for a consultation or a class schedule where I teach people how to access their own records. Or if you want to email me, it's info@akashicwisdom.com. Have a miracle-filled week, and we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records by saying amen, 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 if you'll all join me in saying amen. Have a great night, folks. Bye-bye.